Okay, let's turn to the last verse in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22:21, the last verse in the Word of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We do recognize that almost every epistle of the Apostle Paul ended with a benediction, including a similar truth concerning the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of his epistles began with mentioning the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this verse really is has a special place in the Bible as it talks about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is really a great answer. It is a verse that tells us of the great promise, the great possibilities, the great supply for all of God's people. As we think of the book of Revelation, we think of the first, we think of the seven letters to the seven churches. And every letter to the seven churches talks about those who are overcomers. And there's much to overcome. But all the people of God are called overcomers. And we'll get back to that. In the book of Revelation, we have the tribulation period. And, of course, we have the preparation for the tribulation period, probably epitomized in the Laodicean church age, a church age of lukewarmness. God said, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And then we find the rise of the great deceiver, the Antichrist. We find the rise of his worldwide religious system, the worldwide economic system, the worldwide government. We see the persecution, the death, the slaying. We see of all those who claim Jesus Christ as Savior. We see all these events in which many people will go through the most perilous times. And we live in perilous times today spiritually. And we have an answer at the end of the book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Here's the answer. This is the message of hope. This is the message for all believers that they can face the future no matter what the circumstances are. They can do the will of God no matter how difficult it may seem. What is God's grace? Well, God's grace is simply God's unmerited favor, available to all through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have really three aspects of God's grace that we want to talk about today. And of course, grace represents God giving us what we don't deserve. God's mercy emphasizes that God, through his love, withholds that which we deserve. We deserve judgment. But God, through His mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ, is merciful. Aren't you glad? But God goes far beyond that. He not only provides a way that we can escape that which we deserve, He gives us that which we don't deserve, but what we need. And that's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible reveals the grace of God, His love, His unmerited favor towards us, in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a great verse in the Bible that kind of puts it in a summary verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says there, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." The unmerited favor, the unmerited kindness of God towards us. And we have the grace of God revealed in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Though He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor. This is the grace of God, that He would love us while we're yet enemies. The Bible says Christ died for us. While we're going our own way, in our own rebellion, in our own sinfulness, the Bible says there is none that seeketh after God. In themselves, in ourselves, we would never seek after God. But in the grace of God, in His mercy, He sent the Lord Jesus. He sought us. Throughout the Bible, you see the picture of man going his own way and God seeking man. In His love, in His mercy, in His favor, we find the grace of God in the gift of salvation. Not only did God show His grace in sending the Lord Jesus Christ, but He sends, gives His grace towards us, has displayed His grace in the gift of salvation. Salvation isn't by works. It's not anything we could do, because we couldn't do anything. Our hands are stained with sin. Our soul is marred by sin. There's nothing that we could do to earn our salvation or to work for our salvation, because we are sinners. And we are helpless. And so the Bible tells us that for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God that He would freely give to us through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, His payment for our sin, we would freely give us salvation, full and free. The free gift of eternal life is the grace of God. Oh, there's nothing but that we deserve but the punishment of our sins. There's nothing that we could do to earn our salvation. We are lost and helpless. We are lost and hopeless in Adam. We are sinners. But the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was rich towards us. And so, we have the grace of God shown, His unmerited favor towards us in the death of Jesus Christ. We see His grace in that gift of eternal life. That's 100% by faith, and it's 100% by grace. Unmerited favor, a free gift
Isn't it amazing? We can that God would give us that gift. Isn't it amazing that we could know that our sins are forgiven and that they could actually be forgiven? The grace of God.
But the book of Revelation, I think, emphasizes in this phrase, based on these other two great truths, these two other aspects of grace, there's the third aspect of grace. And that is God's bountiful undeserving provision of strength, of power, of gifts, of abilities, available undeservedly through Jesus Christ to every believer at all times. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the wonderful supernatural ability available to every believer because they know Jesus Christ. We read the passage of Scripture today that the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. There are many theories. I think perhaps it might have been partial blindness. And that makes life very difficult to be partially blind. That may have been revealed by the fact that in one of his epistles, he spoke of how he wrote with a very large hand. In other words, he wrote with... Most of his letters were dictated, and he had a scribe write them down. But in one of the epistles, he describes how he wrote with a large hand. He wrote it himself, and he wrote it with a large hand, which is typical of a person who is partially blind. They write very large letters, handwriting. That certainly could have been very debilitating, very difficult for a man of great passion and energy and desire to serve God. Well, whatever it was, he asked God to take it away. And God basically said, no, I don't want this to be taken away. And there's two reasons I don't want to be taken away. Because I don't want you... to become proud. You have been given so much that it could be very easy for you to become proud. I don't want to take it away because every day I want you to feel your dependence on me. I don't want to take it away because every day I want you to trust me and lean upon me and find supernatural strength in Jesus Christ that's far above anything that you could ever imagine. And so the Apostle Paul, he said to the Apostle Paul, no, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the Apostle Paul responded, most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in my infirmity. I'm going to rejoice in these difficulties of life. I'm going to rejoice in this weakness of my flesh. I'm going to rejoice in the problem of my life because I know that I can depend upon you. I can depend upon the grace of God, the supernatural ability and strength that is found in Jesus Christ, and I can personally experience that in my everyday life. And he said, I'm going to rejoice in that, because there's nothing more precious than to be daily experiencing the supernatural help and strength of God that's available through Jesus Christ to every believer. A fitting answer to the book of Revelation. It's the answer. It's the answer. How do we face such things? You know, facing the future for a lot of people is very difficult. A lot of people, they look at the future and they see difficult things in their future, and they don't know what to do. Many people can't see beyond tomorrow, and they're so stressed out by the negatives, the problems that they're going to face. And you know, there are secular answers to that. There's secular answers to the problems of life and the troubles of life and difficulties of life. I mean, there's secular answers. There's antidepressants. I mean, that's not an answer, but it's there's millions of people on antidepressants because they can't handle the difficulties of life. They can't handle the future. Drugs. Why else is our nation becoming a drug culture? There's no why else, because that seems the only pleasure they can get in life. They don't know how to handle their problems. They don't know how to go to future, have joy, have victory. And so there's a cheap way of handling problems. I mean, there's giving up. A lot of people just plain give up. You know, it used to be that the homeless people were very uneducated people. But homeless people today aren't necessarily uneducated. There's homeless people that have been doctors, lawyers. There's homeless people that have PhDs, who have master's degrees, who have been successful business people, but they've given up on life. They came to a roadblock, and they couldn't make it through. And they gave up. You know, it seems that because our character is becoming so weak today, the first thing that comes to our mind is to quit. Anytime the going gets tough, you know, people want to quit. Well, let's transfer this to what the Bible says about living the Christian life. Let's transfer this to living the Christian life. Now, we need to preface what we're going to say now with a very great truth, a great promise from God. And that promise is, my grace is sufficient for you. No matter what you face in life, my grace is sufficient for you. My supernatural strength and ability that is available through Jesus Christ will carry you through, and any is available and can carry you through to victory in every phase of life. Now that's, we have to premise that. Now, so let's talk about God's grace, the grace to overcome. And
Let's look at what the Bible describes the seven different kinds of churches there are in the church age. And each one of those has the instruction, overcome it. Notice Revelation 2, church at Ephesus. This is the church, it says, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, Revelation 2, 4, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. I'm trying to make this practical. What is he saying about the church at Ephesus? The church at Ephesus, they had a problem. They were a great church, but they had a problem. They had left their first love. And you know, he basically said, you need to overcome it. You need to overcome it. Or else, I will remove thy candlestick out of this place. Your church is going to die. Now, simple dilemma. How do you overcome having left your first love? How do you overcome it? Well, how do you overcome it? Through the supernatural ability that is found in Jesus Christ. It's not in us. It's in Him. And we can be overcomers. We can return to our first love. We can love Christ with all our heart as we ought to. It doesn't matter what is surrounding us. We can rise up to the occasion as we turn to Christ and depend upon Him and give ourselves to Him and rely upon Him and allow Him to work in our life. We can overcome. Now, in the next church is the church there at Smyrna. And this is a church that faces persecution. And they're going to be cast into prison. And they're going to die. And how... In a time of persecution, is a Christian going to be faithful? I think of Harlan Popov in a communist prison camp after World War II. Stripped naked, sub-zero weather, stranded on an island. How did he survive? It wasn't in him, but he did survive. Harlan Popov, for 3 weeks straight, was forced to look at a white wall, standing up without any sleep. If he blinked his eyes, he'd be smashed on the head by the communists. No sleep in a most excruciating psychological setting, looking at a white wall. How did he retain his sanity? The grace of God. My grace is sufficient for thee. God's supernatural ability that is available in Jesus Christ. As the Bible describes the events of the last days and the decline of Christianity. What does he say? Does he say, go with the flow? Decline with the movement downward of apostasy and lukewarmness and compromise? No! He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Through me, you can be an overcomer. That's what he says over and over. Read those great chapters about being an overcometh, being an overcomer. I read in Revelation chapter 3. Notice it says verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. The hour of temptation, the hour of trial. You know, life is a big test, isn't it? It is. Life is a test. But there's an answer to every test. There's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also provide a way of escape. Praise the Lord. It is the grace of God that is always available to us to be an overcomer. Overcomer of the spirit of the age. The Bible says the spirit of the age. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. In the last days, men shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, their own fleshly desires, their desire to live their own way of life, will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They'll heap to themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear because they want to live their own way. They don't want to follow the Bible. How do you overcome that? The grace of God? You know, there's another way of saying it. Any dead fish can float downstream. But it takes a live one to swim against the current. And that life is the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. The grace to overcome. We've talked about that. The grace to endure. We'll talk about that in a minute. But 2 Peter 3:18. And now remember, 2 Peter is one of the three epistles written for the believers to be true to God in the last days. 2 Timothy, 2 Peter, Jude. All three epistles written especially for believers in the last day. And speaking of apostasy, a departure from the faith, a downward slide of Christianity, overcome by lukewarmness and worldliness. How does one stand against that and become an overcomer? The Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the summary verse of the book, but grow in grace. Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can figure out that one. Grow in knowledge, okay, the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he says, grow in grace. What does that mean? That means grow in your ability to experience and trust God for his supernatural ability found in Jesus Christ. We ought to be able to endure more as we grow older in the Lord. The longer we are saved, we ought to be able to endure more hardship. We ought to be able to stick to the Lord no matter how hard it gets. And of course, the book of Revelation isn't painting a pretty picture, is it, of the direction of things? And you know, it's going to be pretty difficult for people It's going to be pretty difficult for people to endure when they know that they aren't going to be able to go to the store, or they aren't going to be able to go to the bank, or they aren't going to be able to cash a check. In other words, they won't be able to have a job unless they have the mark of the beast, the Antichrist. How are you going to make it? The temptation to give in. The temptation. Oh, no, it's no big thing. To be faithful to God. You know, under the Roman persecution, they said, now, you don't have to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. We won't make you do that. All you need to do is just eat this meat offered in honor of the emperor and participate in the worship of our emperor as deity. You don't have to sign a statement that says, I deny Jesus Christ. You don't have to stop going to church. You don't have to stop reading your Bible. All you need to do is participate in this public ceremony where you eat the meat that is offered in homage of Caesar. I'm sure there were thousands who denied the Lord. But there were hundreds of thousands who said no. How could they? And they lost their life. You know what? They found the grace of God was sufficient to endure. To endure, to be faithful to God. It's available. The grace of God is not only the supernatural ability to overcome every hardship, every difficulty, every problem. It is not only the ability to endure under the most difficult task and the greatest cost, and to keep going for God no matter what how difficult it may seem. It's also the supernatural ability to become what we ought to become. To become what we ought to become. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. One of the plaguing problems of the Corinthian believers was that they were selfish and they were stingy. They all were raised in a wealthy city. Corinth was a unique city. It was an, I think I'm saying this correctly geographically, it was an isthmus, and there was a port on both sides of the city. One was on one sea, and the eastern port was on one sea, and the western port was on another sea. And because it had two major international ports, it was a wealthy city. The people had a lot of money. But they were stingy. And the churches in the north who were very poor, they were more generous in their missionary offering than the church at Corinth. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to them. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in diligence,
and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. The grace of being able to be generous. And what was he saying? That it was a supernatural ability that was from God. Oh, God gave them great faith. God gave them great ability to witness. God gave them lots of great things that they were able to exercise for the Lord. But there was something that they needed to become. They needed to understand and become generous in their lives. And you know, God's grace is available to make us what we aren't, but what we need to be. If you're shy and you need to be able to speak for Jesus Christ, he can help you overcome your shyness. If you're plagued by laziness, he can give you the supernatural strength to fight it and to lick it and become a happy worker for God. Your nature might be uncaring, mechanical, hard. How do you change? That's a great question, isn't it? The Bible says it's God's grace. The supernatural strength available in Jesus Christ. The grace to become. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, this about himself. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The grace of God. The grace of God is that supernatural ability to overcome. It's that supernatural ability to endure. It's a supernatural ability to become what we are not. It is that supernatural ability. To be holy. Do we live in a holy day? It's Titus chapter 2. One of the pastors in England, in Wales, Pastor Quay, moved to Wales. His daughter was 16 years of age. Went to high school. They called her the Virgin Mary. Not in praise, but in mockery. For the vast majority of all Britons lose their morality at the age of 14. How does one live a holy life in an unholy world? How does a person live a holy life in an unholy world? Notice what it says, Titus chapter 2.
Verse 11. For the grace of God, the unmerited favor, the supernatural ability that comes in Jesus Christ, that brings salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The supernatural ability is found in Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter what a person has been. And it doesn't matter where they came from. And it doesn't matter what everybody is doing. The grace of God is God's supernatural ability for a person to be what God wants him to be. My grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is that supernatural ability. To serve God faithfully. To fulfill our duty. To fulfill God's plan for our life. What is God's plan for every Christian? Well, you know, there's something that the Bible clearly teaches. That in our wealth and our comfort and our ease and our prosperity, that's easy to forget. But it is that thing that makes anything to be distinctly Christian that is supposed to be. And what is it? Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto uttermost parts of the earth. Ye shall be my witnesses. The word witness is the word martyria. We get the name, the word martyr. A faithful witness even unto death. Going into all the world with the gospel. You know, we think of that. How could that happen? How could it happen? The young lady was in the church that we were in Cargillia in Wales on a Tuesday night, their midweek service. And the pastor introduced my son as a missionary to Wales. This young lady, I would say she's probably about 28, 29. She said, you know, that struck me. A missionary to Wales. We need missionaries. And we got to talk. And I said, you know, every Christianity is one generation away from extinction. Every generation has been given the commission to reach the whole world with the gospel. We have fallen asleep. We're content to somehow think that maybe if we give it to one or two other people, that we fulfilled the Great Commission when there are 7 billion other people, most of them who have never heard. It's an impossible task, isn't it? But the disciples did it in the first generation. It's never been done since. But God's grace is a supernatural ability given to every believer and available to every believer who will give themselves to do the will of God. How do we get that grace? Well, first of all, that grace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and is found in salvation. You know, people look at salvation, they look at getting saved, and they say, repent and believe the gospel. I don't want to repent. That's bad. Well, it really isn't. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be delivered from our wicked sin, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to turn from those things that destroy our soul and destroy our families and destroy our nations, destroy our culture. It's wonderful to turn from those things. But you know, not only do we get saved from the penalty of our sin when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also now enter into the realm of the wonderful grace of God. The supernatural ability available to us through the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The ability, the gifts that God gives to those who know Him as Savior. Amazing thing. You know, when you get saved, God has a plan for your life. And with that plan are marvelous gifts. It's a part of the grace of God. He gifts you. He gives you great abilities. In yourself and in ourselves, we are nothing. But He can take a nobody. He can take an unspeaker. I think of Phil Schuller. Phil Schuller is raising a pastor's home. At a certain age, I don't know if it was what age it was, he fell from the haymow down to the barn floor and hit his head on concrete. And Phil Schuller, from that point on, could not speak without a terrible stutter. He was saved. He knew the Lord one day under his dad's preaching. God called him to preach. He went forward. And he said, God's called me to preach. I suppose he didn't say it in those kind of words. He probably stuttered saying it. And dad says, go sit down. They got home that day, and Mrs. Schuller rebuked her preacher husband. He says, when God calls, He gifts. And someone heard Phil Schuller had been called to preach. Phil Schuller is about 15 or 16 at that point. And Youth for Christ was a real organization in those days. And out in California, Youth for Christ called Phil Schuller and said, I hear that you've been called to preach. We have a rally next month. I want you to preach. Something like that. And Phil Schuller said yes, but he still, everything he said, he stuttered. I suppose he said, yes. I'm sure that was something like that. He had a sermon together. He tried to practice it, and he knew that he couldn't speak without stuttering, so he sang it, because he could sing without stuttering. He wrote his sermon. He practiced his sermon by singing it.
He is prepared. But he still stuttered. But the day came to preach a sermon. And preach it he did. Because God's supernatural ability is given to those who will trust him and obey him with the gifts God has given them. God's grace. You know, what a wonderful thing it is. God's grace. You say, oh, I can't be what I ought to be. Oh, yes, you can. You can't be what you ought to be in yourself. But God's grace is sufficient. Amen. You say, I can't live the Christian life. I can't live a holy life. I can't live differently than the world. I can't take the scorn, the mocking, the rejection of people around me if I lived a godly life. Oh, yes, you can. My grace is sufficient for thee. You say, you know what? I'm stuck in a rut. I've been discouraged. I've just been in a rut. And I guess I'm just, I don't know how. To get things going again, I'm just kind of in a give-up mode. No, you don't need to be in a give-up mode, and you don't need to stop, and you don't need to quit, and you don't need to be discouraged, because God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. What a wonderful thing. You say, well, how can I get that grace? Well, first of all, you need to be saved. But then, as simply as that, by faith, you can turn to the treasure house of God's ability in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's a turning and a trusting and a relying in faith and appropriating the great riches available in Jesus Christ. Now remember, it's the grace of God. And the grace of God is God's love that supplies to us in Christ what we don't deserve. You know, every one of us could look at some part of our life and say, we don't even deserve to take the name of Jesus and call ourselves a Christian, do we? None of us really deserve to be able to go out and tell and take the precious word of God and tell others about Jesus Christ and bear his holy word. That's far above who we are, isn't it? We don't deserve that. None of us are worthy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. But God's wonderful supernatural ability and grace is undeservedly available to all who will come to him through Jesus Christ. How can we be faithful in the last days? We can't do it in ourselves. But God's grace is sufficient. You say, young person, boy, it really looks tough to live for God. To live for God and be godly. In a wicked world, how could I do it? Not a problem. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient. God's ability through Jesus Christ is that ability to overcome. It's that ability to endure. It's that ability to be victorious. It is that ability
to serve and to do His will. Not in ourselves, but in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. What a fitting close to the book of Revelation. No matter how dark and bleak the picture, and it really is, biblically, the biblical picture of the world and what it will be like and the departure from God and the ungodliness, yep, it's true. And we see it right in front of our eyes, don't we? And even Billy Graham in his latest speech. Said his life, his heart was filled with tears as he sees a nation who calls good evil and evil good. But yet, it is possible for the people of God to be faithful and to be able to love His appearing and to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Because God's grace is sufficient and available through Jesus Christ. As we close, let me simply say, are you experiencing God's grace in your life? Are you experiencing God's grace? Or are you defeated because you are living in your own strength and you're looking at all the reasons why you can't do it or why you are unworthy of whatever? No, God's grace is undeserved. It's bountiful. It's supernatural. And it's real. The Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, in my distresses, my persecutions. Why? Because when I am weak, then am I strong. The grace of God. That's the answer, folks. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil would want us to quit. He'd want us to give up. He'd want us to stop. He'd say, it's impossible. No. Every mountain can be climbed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every mountain, every obstacle put in our path, every dart of the evil one, the weakness of our own flesh can all be overcome by the grace found in Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the simple truth that Lord, is a fitting end to the Word of God. And for the people of God who understand the facts of the direction of this world and the direction of this world without Jesus Christ, and yet, it's all painted as an opportunity for us to come to the end of ourselves and turn to the riches that are found in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for your people today that they, by faith, would turn to you. And that by faith, Lord, they would experience the supernatural ability of Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, that you would be glorified in it all. For we at the best are sinners saved by grace. And I pray that, Lord, even in these moments, your people would turn to that great treasure house, that vast bank, that great ocean of wealth of the Lord Jesus, and find all their needs supplied in Him. I pray in Jesus' name.